So my pitch is about being strong in the Lord, and different people ask me different things about it, and they kind of ask me questions like, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? And they said, is that what you're talking about in your talk? And I looked at them and went, I don't think so. And they kind of looked at me slightly weirdly. I was a little disturbed, but I was a little worried. But hopefully, what I say kind of helps, and it's my thoughts on it. So it doesn't mean that everyone in this room has different thoughts and everything. And that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian, that we have different thoughts and different ideas about the Lord Jesus, about God. It doesn't mean they're wrong, it just means we're individual and unique. So Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18, as Simon has said. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he tells them about this. And this section at the top is what I'm speaking of. He then goes into more detail about different things. Then we have Tim Collins, who will speak about three parts of the armour. We then have Tim Noble, who will speak about the shield of faith. And then Simon, later on, will speak about another three parts of it. So they'll go into much more detail of the individual parts of the armour. But I'm coming giving an overview. Okay? So, you might think, some of you might think, this is a little odd. Why are you talking about this? This is a quotation from the Bible. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And you might think this is a bit odd. But I think, how can you be strong in the Lord Jesus if he was dead? He's not dead, because the two ladies that went to find Jesus in the tomb were told, why are you seeking someone that's living amongst the dead? He's risen. And that's the point, is the Lord Jesus has died for each one of us. He's given his life for us. He's laid down his life for us. He was on the tree at Calvary. He died, but he's risen. And in some ways, that's the most important fact. Because you don't put your trust in someone who's dead. You don't pray to someone who's dead. You pray to someone who's living. You ask them to help you each day because they're living and you know they're alive. So that was my thought about that. And when we go through the passage, Paul speaks about that this armour that we have, it's not about flesh and blood. We're not supposed to attack other people or take up arms and kill other people because they believe other things. That's not the point. This is not something about flesh and blood. And why did I show a field of poppies? Because last weekend was 100 years since World War I finished. And they called it the Great War, because they didn't think there was going to be another one. And then they had to readjust it when World War II came along. There has always been wars, there will always will be wars, until the Lord Jesus comes again. So our fight is not to run around and try to cut someone's ear off, as Peter tried to do. And he had to be adjusted. He loved the Lord Jesus. He loved him with all his heart. But he kind of got the wrong idea. And that's the point. It's not a fight of a natural one. Paul goes on to speak about it being in the heavenlies, the wickedness in the heavenlies, and against authorities and principalities, and all these different things that he says in the next section of what he talks about. And what that really boils down to is Satan. Satan is working in the world, and he does it really subtly. And when you think about that, think of the examples, and think of the myriad of other examples. But the one I thought about was when Paul and Silas went to Philippi, and they found a lady, and she became a Christian, and she said, "Oh, you must stay with me," and that's what they did. But they were walking around, and this lady behind here, she would follow them all day long. And she'd walk behind them and say, "These men are bombing the Most High God, who announced to you the way of salvation." Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Sounds really reasonable. You think, well, I don't know what's wrong with that. But she walked around with them for days. And then Paul, it says in the Bible, being distressed, turns around. And then ask the Lord Jesus' help to pull this spirit out of her. And after that, she wasn't able to tell fortunes and things. And that's how Paul and Silas then were in the jail. Because the people that were behind her didn't like that they'd taken away the money that she made. What does that mean to me, this story, about what happened in the act? To me, it tells you how subtle things are. Satan might try one thing in one part of the world, or if you're in Syria and places like that, you'll try with authorities, but they'll chase you out, they'll hunt you down. But in this country, it's really subtle. It sounds really good. It sounds right. But Paul then decided, no, it's not. I can only assume that the Spirit working in Paul, he must have known straight away it wasn't right. But maybe it took Paul a few days to work it out for himself. And that maybe for us, we might often start thinking, it sounds okay. Then after a while, we think about it, and then we get an indication, no, it doesn't. It's not right. So, what? There's two examples. We can go back on slavery. Two examples in my life of something that's subtle. I work with a colleague, chap, nice chap. His name is James. But he says to me quite openly, he says, "Oh, if someone gives me biscuits or different stuff, a patient, I'll treat them better than someone else." Well, I was quite happy. Easily happy to be bribed. And that's what he says about if the company would give him something more, he would do more for them. And that's the world we kind of live in. That people will quite happily take something more. And that's subtle. But is it right? No. And the other example I have was a patient who said to me, she has a full leg caliper. She had polio when she was young, and she has to walk with a full leg caliper. She can't walk without it. And she said to me, she said, "You know, God's great. God's amazing. We can try everything we can, but we can't make what God's made." She said that to me. Well, you know, we can do a little bit, but we can't do what God's done. I didn't say anything, and I felt slightly rebuked, because I didn't. I probably should have said, "God is great." Yeah, he is. But I didn't. But the interesting thing is, about 3 minutes later, she then started to take God's name in vain. Again, that's subtle, isn't it? Sounds okay on the surface. But the next moment, she's taking God's name in vain. So things we have to deal with are subtle, but that's why we have the armour. So, if you move on. and you think, well, why does Paul use armour? What's the reason for it? Well, armour's been around for a very, 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 very long time. And you can see from here, it was way before. Probably the second one along from the left-hand side is the kind of armour we're talking about. But it's a lovely picture of things to help us. To help us understand something. That everyone would understand, everyone knew what a Roman soldier looked like. Roman soldiers were everywhere, the Roman Empire was massive. So it was a really good depiction of things to say, look, we have this armour, this is how it looks. And everyone, oh, I can't get what you mean then. So you kind of wind up and it shows you different armour. But it means that even today we have armour. And it means that we still have kind of depiction of things, and it helps us understand what Paul was really meaning and trying to help us with. And we can break it down into individual bits that the others will then go into greater detail about. Okay? So. So, when you think about strength, when you think about being strong in the Lord, you might think about strength as in being physically strong. And you can see these chaps. The chap on the left looks like he's built fairly well. And the guy on the right, why would you need to carry a sword? I don't know. Has he thought about a car or a truck or something? I don't know. This chap here, maybe he needs to do more shopping. I'm not sure what he's doing. The chap on the left, he's pulling a truck. Seems a bit odd, and there's an engine in it. But anyway, and then our chap in the middle, that's I believe that's a C-130 Hercules. What is the time?
It's a C-17.
I apologise. I deal on a totally different thing. But what engines are they? Are they GE?
They're prime, weren't they? So
that's okay. So they weren't.
That's why he
was having to pull it. That was he was trying to get it up to speed to take it off the runway, and he was just gently getting it going. And I feel there's a better way to start engines than that. But Simon can probably tell you about that. But that's what people think of strength. Strength. These guys are built like battleships, and they can pull lots of stuff, and that's the idea. But the question is that what we're talking about strength as being strong in the Lord? No. Because this armour, again, it's kind of an image of this chap, and he looks military type of chap, and that's fine when we get the idea of the understanding. But you're thinking, he looks quite well built, he looks like he knows what he's doing, and I'm not sure if I do. But he's got all these sections to it, and he's got these six along with prayer, sections to him. And you're thinking, well, he's ready, he's going to do this, and we're okay. This is how I feel. You've got a little guy on the left, he's still got all the armour on. Apologise for the spelling. But he's got all the armour on. I feel like this guy on the right, actually. I've got the armour. Maybe. Got it all on. I've got a little patch on my knee. I feel kind of weak, and I don't know if I'm up to the task. Speaking about the armour, you think, it's great, but I'm not. I'm kind of ready, but I think I've got it on. I'm not kind of standing there going. But everyone who talked about strength, and these guys are big, massive chaps, and pulling trucks and everything else, and I'm kind of standing, just there, and I'm not sure what to do. Why did I put this slide up? Because the armour we have is not physical armour. I don't put it on in the morning. It would take quite a long time. I'd have to get up early. spiritual. What does everyone else see around about you? They don't see any armour on. They just see a normal person. But you know you have the armour on. And that's something that has to be reminded to us. That we don't put it on in that sense, not physically. The thing about this is, this chap is holding on to a Bible. And that's fine, I've got a problem with it. But I don't take a Bible to work. I don't sit with a Bible in my work. I'm legally not allowed to. So, to me, this kind of makes more sense, this chap. With the armour that's on there spiritually. He's just standing there. Stan looks like a normal chap to me. I don't know why he's wearing sunglasses. But we're having a technical problem. He's normal. He just walks around. He doesn't have a Bible on him in that sense, but he's still got the armour. Got it on. And that's probably a better representation of me than the other chap with the Bible. It doesn't mean that I don't have the armour on. No. I've still got the armour. People still ask me questions at work. I've got a new work colleague. He's Muslim. He asked me about my faith. It was funny because we saw a prisoner. And I tried to explain to the prisoner, this guy that had, he was handcuffed like that, and he was cuffed to another prison officer, and they had to call up the prison to say, can we unlock him? And then they put a bigger chain on him, and you're thinking, what's this guy done? I don't want to know, because I might treat him differently. But we had to try and explain to him, right, you've got a curve in your spine, you've got a problem with your spine, last time you saw us, you didn't want a fabric brace. So we've gone and got your custom brace. And the guy kind of went, and you're like, right, okay. So this is our two options. This is what we're going with. Can we adjust it? Let's do that. Let's see where it takes us. Okay. And the chap afterwards, the Muslim chap, he asked me. He started to ask me about, well, how do you feel about different kinds of, how do you feel about what he's done and should he be treated worse than he is? And I said, well, that's not for me to say. I said, he's got his... He's in prison. And he's having to do his time for that. But he said, oh, well, you probably don't want punishment to certain people because you're a man of God. Which is quite interesting. So the armour, you still have the armour on. You're at work, wherever you are. Why is this last slide important? It's funny, I was looking for a slide and I thought, how do you finish off this presentation? And you think about it, and you think of the armour and you think of it. You think about the armour in this world, and you think of physical material armour as in the military. And this chap here, you might not be able to see him fairly well, but this chap here is walking towards that vehicle. Now, why is he doing that? Because this was in the 1970s in Belfast, in Northern Ireland. And this chap was a bomb disposal guy. And he's walking with stuff layered on him to try and protect him because there's an explosive in that vehicle. Something like statistics or something it says about it is that there was 23 of these persons who died in Northern Ireland from trying to stop these devices, and they blew up and they died. I tried to look for an image just of the bomb disposal technician, and this popped up, and I clicked on it, And they just said, prepare to meet thy God, because it's in the sign at the top there. I thought it was quite interesting, but I probably should add this in. It feels like it's right. The blending of the two things in some respect. But what I wanted to say about the armour is that materialistic armour, physical armour, will degrade, will start to reduce down. And in Afghanistan and Iraq, they have to have plates in the armour, because the rounds that people fire in assault rifles are pretty big. And the only way that you can stop that is with having a plate. So they have a plate across their chest. Okay? And what they found is that in actual fact, these plates are getting better. So your legs and arms usually get taken off. So you have people who they're alive because their vital organs are still there. They get help quick enough. But they lose arms and legs through explosives, through large rounds that shatter bone, that take out muscle, that nick arteries and things. But the armour that is physical runs out. If you get a big enough bomb, it doesn't work. This stuff in Iraq, when they used it, they had a little fan inside to try and cool them down. Because it's so hot out there, some of the guys just got to the point where they went, can't be bothered. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go. It's such a big bomb that I'm going to be in a little bit. So I'll just take it off. The point I'm trying to make here, and we're swinging round to it, is that physical armour doesn't work in certain situations. The armour that we have from God, the strength we have from the Lord Jesus, always works. There's not a time where you go, well, this is not going to work, it's not good. Because Paul says, you can stand against the devil. It's not maybe in this certain situation, Astros at the bottom, kind of down here, and these are the points where we can't stand against them. Every situation you can. But, from my point of view, this is to do with me, not putting on anyone else here, is that, do I put the armour on? Do I prepare myself? In my new job, some of you will have heard this before, in my new job, I work at the Royal Orthopaedic Hospital in the orthotics department. And we have probably more complicated patients, more patients that come from other parts of the country. They can be all brought into the Royal Orthopaedic. They can't take a referral and say, no, we can't give you a referral. They have to accept the referral. So you see, there's a spinal centre as well. And it means that you get referrals from this one little girl who's only one that comes to see us. And they come from Hereford. Drive all the way there. So you get people that are more aggravated. They want more. They want more things. They want to understand what's going on. And I find that difficult. And the last thing, of all the other six parts of the armour, the seventh part, shall we say, is prayer. And as Simon's already said, I'm not actually going to go into more detail about it, but prayer is important. But for me personally, I find prayer difficult. I find it difficult to ask for the right thing. I find it difficult to not try and do it my way, but leave it with someone else. But in the new job that I have, every day I go to work, I get up and I ask the Lord Jesus to help me. I ask for his strength. I ask for his wisdom. And you know the wonderful thing about that is that when you go to work, you're not worried. You go, well, I'll give him my best shot, but I know the Lord Jesus is going to help me. And that's really encouraging. But to have someone that has all the strength, all the resources, his resources are infinite. Not finite, infinite. And to kind of lay it upon him to help me makes my life much easier. And it just, it makes it easier, more helpful. Does that mean that my day goes wonderfully every day and people don't come in and give you a good dressing down or something? No. But it's amazing how you get through the day and you kind of just have peace about it. And that's the Lord Jesus. And to me, that's being strong in the Lord. And this armour that we have, as long as we put it on, we can use it in any situation, we can be helped. And there's nothing that can hold us back. And Satan may try, but it can't stop us when we have this armour. And that's all I have to say, really.